We're all being asked to stay at home whenever possible right now, but what if home is one of the least safe places for you to be? That's the case for many people who are living with domestic violence. As we've seen more people being asked to stay at home to stop the spread of the coronavirus, we've also seen calls to domestic violence shelters and resources go up. And our next guest says there aren't as many options for them to get out of these violent situations right now. Tasha Menaker is the co-chief executive officer for the Arizona Coalition to End Sexual and Domestic Violence, and I spoke with her earlier this morning and asked what the situation looks like here.
Unfortunately, this is an unprecedented and stressful time for everyone. And when we see people experiencing stress, both financial, general stress, and then on top of it, they're isolated and they're spending more time at home, it definitely increases the risk of violence occurring in homes. And what we've seen at our coalition's helpline is an increase in calls from survivors since the COVID outbreak.
What kinds of things are you hearing from the people who are calling? Is this people who were already in abusive situations before this happened, or new incidents that are popping up because this is happening?
We've heard of both of those situations. Many of the people who are calling our helpline are looking for legal services and resources, assistance with things like obtaining orders of protection, assistance with issues surrounding divorce and custody. We've also had people calling because they are just looking for basic resources and around basic needs. So things like food, concerned about being able to pay their utilities and things like that.
Why turn to you? I mean, are these folks who know the resources that you offer, and what is it that you can offer them at this point?
I think the reason many people are turning to us, especially around basic needs, which may seem counterintuitive given that we serve survivors, is that many survivors, especially if they've just left an abusive relationship, are working to get back on their feet in many ways. We know that abusive partners, the majority of abusive partners, also control the household finances, and that's part of that mechanism of power and control in an abusive relationship. So survivors who call us are often looking for ways to establish some of that financial independence and security, and that's become even more precarious and difficult during this time.
Yeah. So, Tasha, I mean, this concern about domestic violence survivors and people living in abusive situations is a story that we've come to over the course of several weeks of reporting on this, but this was probably the first thing you thought of when we were just beginning to ask people to stay at home. What are your concerns? What were the first thoughts that went through your mind?
Oh, certainly. We thought of this right away and we're deeply concerned. And so the first thing that we did was reach out to the programs that make up our membership. So our membership are the sexual and domestic violence programs and shelters across the state. We knew that they would have to adapt to this outbreak and change the way that they do some of their services. So we've been coordinating calls with them to see what are the things you're seeing, what are the ways that we can support you. So, of course, the programs, fortunately, are all open at this time, but they are taking a lot of measures to prevent and control any spread of infection. So they're following CDC recommendations. The programs are in contact with their local health departments, and they have measures in place to ensure the safety and health and well-being of their residents and clients as much as possible.
Right. So you are keeping shelters open and available at this time?
Yes. So we don't run the shelters, but the shelters across the state are open at this time.
Yeah. I wonder if you can walk us through a little bit about what advice you can give these people when they call you. Are you offering them shelter services? Are you trying to connect them with those local shelters? Or is this something you can sort of talk people through in terms of, I mean, it's just a little difficult because they don't have very many other options right now.
That is true. So when people call our helpline, we really just meet them where they're at in terms of understanding what it is that is their primary concern at that time, because everybody knows their own situation best. And so sometimes people are calling and they're looking for shelter and they want to get out of the home. And so we help them navigate some of those options. Sometimes people don't want to leave the home or don't necessarily need or want shelter at this time, but they're looking to talk to someone or they're looking to talk through options around legal services, for example. So whatever is the need that the survivor expresses, we work with them through those different options.
So I'm wondering, as people who are in abusive situations realized they were going to be asked to stay home for a long period of time, potentially, did they become fearful? Like, have you heard stories like that?
Well, it's interesting. We have had some calls where people are having to call from their home. And so we have had calls where people are whispering on the line, because at this time, people have to access resources and safety plan in new and different ways. So we've been giving people ideas on how they might access resources when they are in social isolation, potentially with someone who is harming them. So we just remind people that this is that social distancing doesn't mean that you still can't go to the grocery store or take a walk around the block, go get the mail. So we're giving tips and tricks on some different ways that people can find some safety and privacy, and during those times, contact a helpline or a hotline or a program.
So what can we all do to help? We've heard a lot about reaching out to friends and reaching out to family, making sure that people are okay. But if we can't see them, is this a more difficult situation for friends and family?
Certainly, this is a difficult time. And so we have also been encouraging friends and family, loved ones, to reach out if they believe someone that they know is being harmed. And on our website, we have some different tricks, tips, and skills and suggestions for loved ones if they want to have those conversations with family members and friends. If that's not possible, sometimes the best way that we can support survivors this time is helping to distribute information, whether that's through social media or other ways of getting the word out. We have been in contact with grocery stores, for example, and convenience stores to get hotline information and program information out there so that people can have greater access to that information when they do get out of the house. And if people want to support, one of the things they can do is support their local programs. So programs still, you know, benefit from monetary donations, and they need the same things that most of us need during this time: toilet paper, cleaning supplies, sanitary wipes and hand sanitizer, diapers. And so that's another way that people can support if they're interested.
All right. That is Tasha Menaker, the co-chief executive officer for the Arizona Coalition to End Sexual and Domestic Violence. Tasha, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you very much.